a revelation. I'm saying a possession of a spiritual reality. Something that is real in the environment of the Holy Ghost. You can possess it.
Revival Hub International is a fellowship of believers with a desire to establish the kingdom of our Lord through the intense working of the Holy Spirit.
Let men that speak, speak as the oracles of the living God. Men that are passionate because.
This message by God's servant Apostle Dudich will bring you quickening and transformation by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 8. There any announcement I forgot? Okay. Can we read verse 1 together? 1, 2, ready, go. Okay, I know many of us are trying to get there. So, you can get there. You have 15 more seconds. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. Some of the things I want to share with you is the foundations I had in God before I came to this point. Several seasons of my life, it was a very strong foundation. I was discussing with my friend. I was telling him that my pastor, our pastor that discipled us in school, is very good in this. The thing is that when a building becomes strong, you might not be able to see the things inside that made it strong. Or you might not be able to see the things inside that made it weak. Okay, as of this moment, all judgments concerning the building can only be traced with what is perceivable. Are you getting the point? Number two, according to what our brother was just making reference to, you will see that the matter of the scriptures and the things that concern the gospel or the word of God has to be remembered. It has to come to a point where we just come to a point and say, even if you have known, let's remind ourselves. So as he's saying, what is the purpose of reminding yourself? Part of the reason why you need to remind yourself is to check whether you have departed. According to the book of Galatians, it is possible to what? Depart. And that is for the people that has already received. It is possible to what? Depart. Okay. Now, not depart away, depart to another gospel. So part of the things that we are trusting the Holy Spirit to do is to bring clarity to what exactly is the gospel. Not just in the mentioning, as our brother also said, but in what the scripture actually holds. Are you with me? So just follow me. It is simple and straightforward. Just make sure you are paying attention. Huh? If you can get this, you have gotten something very strong. None of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. I think this kind of teaching, now I'm the one saying, I was discussing with my wife one time. I think in my journey, Christian journey, I've been exposed to this kind of teaching more than any other kind of teaching. Actually, other kinds of teaching is in the last 10 years. But before that time, this is the kind of teaching. Okay? The gospel. Say after me, the gospel.
Gospel.
Say after me, the gospel.
The gospel.
Stanley, you don't appear. The gospel simply means good news. In fact, it also means, it's not just good news, a good news that is too good to be true. write it. Just write it like that. Even if you know it before, just write it for the sake of building a memory bank, a consciousness. The gospel is good news, but not just good news. It is a good news that is too good to be true. You can receive good news now. Like, I don't know your capacity, but pardon me. If you receive 20,000, is that not good news? If somebody that is owing you maybe 50,000 or 100,000 gives it back to you, is that not good news? But if you receive 100 million now, it's too good to believe. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. You first of all suspect. You will not tell anybody. You will go and hide that phone with which you received the alert. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes. It means that it is good. The 10,000 is good news. 50,000 is good news. 100,000 is good news. But 100 million is too much of a good news for you to believe it. Are you getting what I'm saying now? And that is the gospel. So there are several good news that we have received. John the Baptist, as I'm talking to you now, if you go through this, if you actually just study the scripture, you find out that there are certain places that people preached and presented cases of hope to people. As a matter of fact, the gospel offers hope. Any gospel should offer hope. Okay. It is a gospel in any sense if it offers hope. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hope. And in the context of Christian doctrine, when a man now interacts with that hope by faith, he becomes a possessor of it. So if something is a gospel and it doesn't offer you any hope, hey God, somebody is telling me explain hope and I can hear it. If I go there, we will not come out. It's too big. In fact, hey, you will not believe how much the Bible spoke about hope. The way the Bible spoke about hope, we are literally silent about hope in our general teachings in the body of Christ. But as a matter of fact, for the believer that is born again, the scripture admonished you more on hope than even faith. The reason why the scripture admonishes us more on hope is because what we received is beyond here. Okay? It is such a life that you are living a reality of two realms and several dispensations. For example, you can, in fact, in some places in the scripture, if you are not careful, it looks as if hope and faith is the same. As a matter of fact, when I study Hebrews chapter 11, that's what I see. You are free to see what you are seeing. I'm not saying it's wrong, but that's what I'm seeing. Because how do you explain the fact that the scripture says somebody had faith and he didn't receive the promise? According to what you know as the teaching of faith, will you still call it faith? I'm asking you, will you still call it faith? Okay, so that's by the way. So whatever you know about faith is correct, but I'm just presenting just to make you think on hope. Maybe after now, another time, just take a study of it. Okay? What is more important to you is 1,000 from God. As God is giving you that 1,000, you are seeing it as the end. God is seeing it as the beginning. Are you getting what I'm saying? He is hoping that you had faith and received 1,000. That 1,000 will work out something for him that will finally bring him a bounty eternally. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when Jesus died, we exercised faith, received the redemption. If we ended there, the hope of God is not realized, because God has a reason why he sent his son to die. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Should I say this thing? There is nothing free of charge in heaven and on earth. Everything that God gave you, he gave you in hope. What did I say? Everything that God gave us, he gave us. Anytime there is no possibility of realizing the hope of God, he abandons the project. Let me not say he abandons. He tries to rescue the project or do something about it. But if there is nothing he can no more do with that project the way it is going, he abandons it. So when God set up the old covenant, he has an hope. There are some things he is expecting to get out of it after several years and several generations of operating the old covenant. It looks as if God was even it's not just that there is no progress. It looks as if God was going back. So what he did is, according to the book of Hebrews, he abandoned it. And the scripture is saying, why would God abandon the old covenant if it is faultless? Why will he abandon it if it is still profitable? Are you getting it? So God is in a business. If he is not in a business, why did the scripture use the word profit? If you are with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
So when you got born again, there is a profit that God is looking for. When he anointed you, there is a profit. But I don't want to use the word profit. I prefer to use the word hope. Okay? When God created man, there is hope. And all these dimensions are held up in the eternal purposes of God. Every single thing that God now does is to realize that hope. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So God invested in his son. And through his son, we are brought into a participation in him. And that participation in him brings us into the participation in his purposes. The giving of ourselves to more of God is not an ultimate end, even though they work side by side. The more we give ourselves to God, the more we become like Christ, the more we are useful in context, in God's eternal context, because all of God's hope is in Christ. Is it not in your Bible? Christ in you what? Okay, so that is it. All of God's hope is in Christ. And God imparted Christ. Allow me to use that word. Imparted Christ into you at new birth. Are you with me? Like, your parents looked at you like this and said, we need to destroy poverty in our family. Are you getting what I'm saying? But I am 65 years. I can't do much now. Are you getting it?
Yes, sir.
Then they now... Your father has 10 plots of land. He sold half. You know, if you are in the village, depending on your village, your land might not be as valuable as a land in Lagos. Are you getting what I'm saying? They now sold that land. Now sent Jasper to U.S. Are you getting where I'm going? If they wait for you 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, you see, you cannot be there and say it doesn't concern me. You can't say that. Why will you say that? Because the man that sold his land gave his only begotten son to save you, did not just save you for yourself. He saved you for his purposes. So when he sent you over to that United States of America, he is hoping that you will work with his investment and bring back proceeds for him. So your progress in his purpose is actually the real progress. Any other progress you made that did not favor the one that sold and sacrificed to send you is a waste of investment. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if they wait for you like 7 years, it didn't work. In many families, after 5 years, they find a way to send your younger brother. Is it not true? It means that first project has failed. That is the best way I can explain to you the interface of the law and of grace. The oppression between the old covenant and the new. Huh? God was hoping that the old covenant can still achieve his agenda. God is hoping. Are you with me? Listen. What is happening in the Old Covenant is that what happened in the Old Covenant and what Moses held up is that God brought to a literal principles, laws, the things that is already operating underground in the universe, operating underground in man, operating underground on earth without our knowledge. Unfortunately, ignorance does not cut us off from the implication of that underground current. Are you getting it? So, people like Paul now said that it is by the law that he had knowledge of sin. What is he trying to say? Meanwhile, in the same place that he said that even them that did not sin after the similitude of Adam, is it not true? They still suffer the consequences of sin and death. That means, were you there when Adam sinned? Did you contribute? Now, the consequences of sin and death is still there. Anytime, if you have ever fallen sick or had headache, it means that the consequences of the sin of Adam has caught up with you, even if it is 1 minute that it lasted. So the scripture is saying, even you that did not sin, you might have, are you, similitude means that, yeah, I have sinned, but I did not join in that sin that caused that trouble. Yet, I'm still suffering for that sin. You are suffering for your own sin here. You are not with me. Like if you sin now, you suffer for it, but you are also suffering for the original sin. So whether you know it or you don't know it, it is in operation. So the Bible needed, God needed the law to appear first so that it can reveal to man the underground current that is holding him bound. Are you getting the point?
Yes, sir.
Maybe if I have time, we will get there. We'll find maybe at least the 7 purposes of the law. I think I've taught you people 1 or 2. Is that not true? The Bible said that the law is the schoolmaster. Eh? Okay, the law also is a revealer of God's righteous standard. Are you getting the point? The law is a revealer of God's righteous standard. It is by the law that we know what is actually God's standard. You will not know until it is said. Now, God is not showing you that his standard for you to be able to keep it. But at least you know. Is that not true? So if you just study the scripture, you see many purposes of the law. Another one is that the law is the revealer of the innate depravity of the man in sin. The duty of the law is to reveal to you how depraved you are in yourself. So that's the basis of the cry of Paul in the book of Romans. If you're with me so far, say amen.
Amen.
Who is standing at the door? Is there no seat? Okay. If you're with me, say amen. I didn't hear you. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. Say after me, this is the summary. So the Bible is saying, like, whatever was spoken from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, and 7, leading up to this 8, this is the summary. The summary is this. We have, can we read the summary together? 1, 2, ready, go. Let's read verse 2 because it didn't end here. Is there a way we can join verse 1 and 2? Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty, where? In the heavens. a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shewed to thee in the mount. But now had he obtained a more excellent ministry. When you hear the word excellent, that's just by the way, the first thing you should think is not he obtained a better ministry. That's not the first thing about excellent. The first thing you think about excellent is something that is transcendent. Transcendent. Excellence means something that there is no end in it. Okay? If you check the foundation of the argument that the man is making in the book of Hebrews, he's making an argument that even the priest and the ministers in the old covenant that operated by the law, that even if they offer sacrifices, am I correct? That when they die, they will need another sacrifice to be offered, year in, year out. Am I correct? Why? Because their priesthood does not endure. Their ministry does not endure. So the reason why this man has a superior ministry, it is because it is excellent. So what it means that it transcends, it goes beyond measure. It goes beyond measure, it goes beyond time. It goes as far as the purposes of whoever set it up. Desires. So even if you started something, you died, it continues. So Jesus has come and died physically, left, but still, the ministry continued. Bro, strike for me. The ministry continued. You know why it continued? Because it's an excellent ministry. So the question is, what is the quality of excellence that is in his ministry that made it have the capacity to reach beyond the limitations that can face it? Maybe because of humanity, maybe because of time, maybe because of space, maybe because of dispensation. Okay? And that quality is the quality of spirit and life. Because the spirit and life, that is why the scripture said he, through the eternal spirit, offered himself once. The reason why you can offer once is because it is by the spirit. If it is not by the spirit, you will need to keep coming. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is the quality of the spirit within the sacrifice that makes it ever living. And because it is living, it can transcend all generations, all peoples and all ages. Are you getting the point? The sacrifice is as fresh as it was in the day that Jesus died on the cross. The potency, the reality, how he stands before God, before Satan and before men, is still the same. Why? Because there is a quality in that sacrifice. The quality of being offered by the Spirit. So the Spirit, in his capacity to host, in fact, in his capacity to energize everything, to keep everything working, keep everything alive, is still holding that sacrifice alive. From that moment till when? Now. So because of the quality of the spirit investment that is in the sacrifice, I don't like that sound you are holding. Reduce a little and find me. I don't want to say this thing I want to say. Are you with me now? So, he, through the eternal spirit, offered. And because of that, his sacrifice stayed alive. So that even when the man that offered the sacrifice have died, the spirit keeps it what? Alive. The Bible is trying to tell us something here from verse 1. Let me start there. Show me verse 1. Now of the things which we have spoken. So he's summarizing. As a matter of fact, when you start from the chapter 1 of the book of Hebrews, you will see that the labors of the one that wrote the book of Hebrews is to present the Son as the ultimate work of God and the ultimate means of God. The ultimate work of God and the ultimate what means. So in the Son, everything was summed. In the Son, everything is done. And through the Son, show us Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 so that you know it. Let me just read it so that 1 verse 1. You need to be fast in this teaching. Sit up, sit up. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by what? His Son. So the utterance of God in the end of the time has become Son-wise. That means both the content of the utterance and the direction of the utterance is Son-wise. So everything about God's speakings has been calibrated Son-wise. By Son-wise, we mean the substance of the Son. Huh? Are you getting what I'm saying? Christ Jesus, who is the Son in the Godhead, has become the utterance of God. And remember what we know about utterance. God speaks when he wants to walk. Is it not true? That means that utterance is the labors of God. Are you getting it? That utterance is the labors of God. So God labored in his Son. And if he labored in his Son, it is only normal that he will speak in and as the Son. You are not even getting what I'm saying, but let me leave it like that. It is only common sense that the compendium of the Godhead's eternal labors, where all their labors has been housed. If words in God is equal to works, are you with me? If words is equal to works, if utterance is equal to works, then the host of all God's labors and works should be the utterance. It's only naturally leading that the host and the personality of that works should be the utterance. Are you getting what I'm saying? For all things were made, and nothing was made that was made that was not made for the Son and by the Son. Are you getting it? And the works of God he did by his what? By his utterance. So it's only natural that the host of the personality that does the work should be the personality of the utterance. Since utterance, according to the Godhead, is what? Works. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I hope you know that when we say, just reduce a little, very little. When we say that he spoke by his Son, we are not saying that he came out and said, my son is speaking now. It means a recalibration. So God recalibrated everything that has to do with him having spoken in his Son. So when we calibrate in the Son, anything that still holds its substance and reality, we accept. The one that doesn't hold, we do what? We discard. So even the labors of Moses was calibrated in the Son on that mountain. The labors of Elijah was calibrated where? In the Son on that mountain. So when Peter spoke, you will now know the weight of his trespass, the weight of Peter's trespass. Huh? When he said, "Hey, Elijah is here, Moses is here," he said, "Let's build three tabernacles." You see, you have not seen the weight of his trespass. Those men are not there to be alternative measures of God speaking. They are there to submit their books. Are you getting it? So that henceforth, Elijah can no more speak for God as a means of him establishing his purposes. Moses can no more speak for God as a means of him establishing his purposes. His utterance now are gathered where? In the sun. The reason why I just touched this is to show you people that God has gathered his labors in the sun. And if all the labors of God has been, he didn't gather it in time. He gathered it in eternity. Are you seeing where we are going? But he started revealing it in time. And the reason why he has to reveal it here is so that he can allow us to participate in it. So when God spoke, he revealed. When God spoke, he revealed. If he speaks, he what? Revealed. And that is why the scripture, even the letters of the scripture, is called God's revelation. So we can say that God revealed himself in the scriptures. So when God spoke, he revealed. He did not start when... Are you with me? He did not start when he spoke. It was revealed when he spoke. The works, eternal works of God. The gospel is about the Son of God. And when we say the gospel is about the Son of God, we speak not just in time, we speak eternally. For he is the summary of all the works of God, both in time and eternity. It is good news if God begins to speak about such things that he has worked. Speak to us in such a way that we can participate in it. The things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered the heart of man. Places that God reserved for himself and his son. When his son appeared on earth, he called men to walk on the same path. It's too holy for you to tread there. Are you getting it? When the Bible said the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believes, we don't know the weight of that utterance. The power of God. It means that God is saying, the scripture is saying, that in the gospel, God gathered all his possibilities. The things that wouldn't have been possible for us to even imagine, in the gospel, it has become a reality. So we can possess everything about God's unclassified documents. You know, I used to like some movies that make you think. You know those movies? It's not the movies that, you know, Nigerian movies, some of them, when they start, after 5 minutes, you know how they will end. You see them singing one song. And they, wait, let me sing one song. They no, wait, Nigerian song. Why is the world so wicked? Why is the world so evil? Then you see one small girl, he'll be walking near the bush. Then you see one woman that is about 40, 50 years, be doing her face. Like, you just know immediately that this young lady will be maltreated by this woman, this lady, and she will now marry a prince. And then, you know. You know the problem? Many of you know you are still watching it. Say after me, Lord, I won't waste my life and time. Okay. But sometimes I heard some are good, especially the very, very old ones. But there are ones I like watching from maybe some of these people, some of these Hollywood, some of them, sometimes they are good, many times they are demonic. Now, some of them that are good, there is research, especially when they speak about FBI, CIA, all those, their research. I like those intrigues. They will come to a board meeting speaking about some investigation, and somebody will ask a question, and somebody will say, with all due respect, these are classified information. Hi! And they go. Classified information. It means it's beyond your pay grade. Listen to me. There are things concerning God beyond the pay grade of a mortal man. In the gospel, we are brought into it. It's beyond your pay grade. You dare not even think about it. You will die. In the gospel, God released his power for man to possess anything possible in him. If you step out of the gospel, it is no more possible. It is only possible where? In the gospel, God declassified himself. So all those things that were hidden, you come and tell, are you with me? Come and tell Moses. He said, you cannot leave, look at me and leave. Somebody, you cannot see me. If this, you do this, you die. In the gospel, those things are declassified. God permanently became naked. And by the Spirit of Christ, we are possessed. There is nothing in God that we can enter and have. You stopped where you desire to stop. The investment of the Spirit made sure that our journeys in God is beyond time. Are you getting it? He gave us leverage. Because the substance of our pursuit, if correct, in the path of spiritual progress, will lead us beyond time and this present existence. Am I correct? As a matter of fact, when you fellowship with God well enough, one of the things that will happen is that he will begin to invest in you things that you can't exhaust here. That's the only way you can survive your journey on earth. Because if everything ends here, according to Paul, we are in trouble. There has to be steerings, promptings, burdens, hunger, that even if we live 100 years, we'll still finish it. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not yet. Let me push. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 that I may know you and the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of your suffering being made conformable unto your death. 33 years into ministry. He is now Paul the aged. Yet he speaks about spiritual things as if it's a present hunger. It means that there is a progressive journey. He desires, are you getting me? At some point he said, I am in betwixt. It means that for him, there is no difference between sleeping and being awake. It is one journey continuing into different realms. When he closes his eyes, everything that he acquired in his journey on earth that is consistent with Christ's calibration is still hosted in spirit dimensions. So he just continues. He will not come there and then he come there and rest and say, I don't finally make him. Just as our brother, I don't finally make him. As you arrive in responsibility again. Yes. I was watching one thing one day. I saw where is Nigerian movie, one part. So, you know this Okwakali, you know, the people. So, somebody has died. So they took his casket. They were dancing, doing like this, doing all those, you know, those are magic. And it was, what's the name of that guy? It's not Kana. You're that other guy that does that thing with him too. Clem Mohammed. As he was doing that thing, suddenly the man rose up from the casket and said, don't even remember. I'm going to go to the house. Oh my God. Oh my God. So he supposes that he should be resting now. Huh? The truth is that if you close your eye, the journey begins. Good or bad. That's what the book of Hebrews said. We used to use it and preach those days. Huh? Let me look for it. Can help me. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's appointed unto every man to die once. Then after. If you have done evangelism and you have not used this, which scripture did you use? Where did you use yourself when you were preaching? That time. It is power scripture. It's power. That evangelism is the power scripture. It's appointed unto every man to die once. And after death. Amen. Now, the point I'm trying to make is that according to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, even men that journeyed on the path of perfection is still operating as witnesses. So it means that labor continues. That as far as those patriarchs that saw into the eternal purpose of God is concerned, this earth is just a place to set things in motion. Are you getting where I'm going? Should I tell you something? The gospel covers all those dimensions. As long as it involves the experience of Christ. Except our experience of Christ stops when you die physically. But if it doesn't stop, if it is Christ, it is by the gospel. If it is Christ, it is by what? Write it down. If it is Christ, it is by what? The gospel. Amen. What are you looking for? As our pen gets lost, look for it, labor for it. If I'm the one, I'll find it. The cover of his pen fell down. That's how your pen has reduced. Look at it. The cover fell, you didn't find it. This one fell, you didn't find it. This one will soon fall. You have found it, Abby. If I didn't push you, that's how it's gone. There are some of you here, you have never finished one pen in your life. It's not some of you, many of you. Like, start one pen, kept writing it, and you finish. You have never achieved it. The day you achieve it, you are powerful. You have never achieved. No, be so. There's another set that are criminals. They have never bought pen. There are some sisters, they know you always buy pen. They use the money for their pen and eat me shy. Amen. Chapter 8, please. Let's touch one more thing there, then we go. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the summary. That we have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Next verse. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, and not man. So we speak of summary now, and we are saying that there is something that Jesus Christ initiated by his appearing. Are you getting it? He initiated a contact with the invisible realm of God, brought us into fellowship with divine and heavenly ministries. By his priesthood, we are brought into divine and heavenly ministries. Whilst we are preaching something and saying things on earth, it is because a man is holding all things constant. Where? In heaven. You are correct. This is the summary. That if we don't have an high priest seated in that heavens, there is no gospel to preach. I hope you know that gospel is not mere words. It is the declaration of the possibilities of God that men can have in Christ. The possibilities of God that men can have where? In Christ. And if it is possible, somebody made it possible. The entrance of the Christ, the entrance of the high priest. Normally, a high priest should not be operating on the throne, but I don't know the configuration. We cannot use our human mind to do the configuration of how that realm is. But he said that the high priest is sitting on the right hand side of the throne. How? So if you are a high priest, you should sit wherever, near the altar or wherever. But the high priest, how? What kind of priest? So sometimes I appear, I say, is he on the right hand side, then throne here? People have done many drawing. Some people say they have been to heaven and they saw. You know the problem? You can be there. I'm not saying you didn't see. You can be there, you see something. Another person will be there and see another thing. 17 of us will be there and see different things, and all of us are correct. Because God will allow you to see what he wants you to see. And you cannot claim that that person's throne room encounter is not. That's assuming if I'm assuming is a valid encounter. You cannot say. Are you getting it? So God can allow you to see, and you see a throne turned upside down, and that person will see. See, I see a throne standing like this. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see. All those things are valid, interconnected existences in God. None nullifies each other. And the day you begin to operate, in fact, should I tell you, as a believer, make sure you think like that. Remove the three-dimensional thinking mentality, else you won't make progress. In fact, many people bring three-dimensional mentality into their interpretation of the scripture. That's why you can say, how can a good God kill? That is three-dimensional thinking. How can a loving God judge and send people to hell? That's a three-dimensional thinking. How much of God's consideration in a matter are you even aware of? Like, if God wants to do something, how many probabilities does he consider? I hope you know that before God does something, he considers all the possible outcomes. How many does he consider before he does one? So you cannot say that God that is this cannot be this, except he said he cannot be it, or we have not seen him do it. But if we have seen him in the scripture do it and have been it, you cannot say he cannot. He may not, but he can. He may not, but he what? Can. He will not, but he can. Stop saying God cannot. He can. He can kill, but he won't kill you in Jesus' name. So that's how to experience this. So that you will not, your faith will not suffer tomorrow. A shipwreck. Maybe something happens that doesn't fit into that your micro theology, and then you are now in trouble. Somebody tell you, maybe somebody tells you, if you had faith, then the situation would have changed. Not always true.
there are circumstances you might have faith and it will not change. It means that there is something bigger that God is trying to achieve that is more than that your petty result that you are looking for. Maybe God wants to use you to teach a generation and you asked him for car, he didn't give you. That your 1 year trekking might be a stronger investment in your life than a car. Are you getting where I'm going now? Are you sure you are with me? So this is our summary. Jesus have ascended to heaven and is sitting for us. So we can now on that basis speak to men, or at least we now enter into the things of God, experience God, enjoy God, enjoy his blessing from time to eternity, stay close to him, experience his power, experience his possibility, touch his glory, become like him, be confident that we will not be cut off, be confident that we will not love God and he will not love us back. These are the things you need to consider. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be confident that we cannot approach God and he will reject us. That God will not wake up one day and look at us and he say he doesn't like it. God is completely and permanently satisfied with Christ. He may not with you, but as long as you are in Christ, you don't need to worry. Is that okay? These are the things that must be settled. That I can experience God. If we do not settle the fact that a man can experience God, then we should stop coming. If there are things that we decide for these ones, we can't have it in God, then we should stop. But the gospel preached is too good to be true. In the sense that the enormity of God's investment, largesse, that is now possible to you in Christ now is beyond your imagination. Are you getting what I'm saying? It elevated us not just above where we were, but it brought us to God class. God class in nature. How does the book of 1 Peter say it? God class in life and nature. Are you getting the point now? That is what is unthinkable. You don't know where you came from. That is what we call in the theology of salvation, we call it utter depravity. I think I should even touch it. Say after me, utter depravity. There are many theological blocks that hold it so much. In fact, they hold it even after salvation. They still hold it. Okay? But you can no more hold it for a man that has met Christ. For you to hold utter depravity for the man that has met Christ is to say that there is something in Christ that is depraved. For the life we live now is no more our own. It is Christ that is living in and through us. Listen. The new creation man is not an improved version. It's not an improved version of anything. It is a new thing. It has not been seen before. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not that God improved on you. Like, since I got born again, are you with me? Listen. Since I got born again, I've become better. I can say the truth. I say, that's not first the main thing. If you make that the first thing, the day you try to do good and you fail, you'll be frustrated with yourself. And then you will keep laboring in your energy to meet up with what, in quote, should be the expected standard of somebody that is now at your level. What is your level? There is only one level, Christ. Are you seeing it? It's either Christ did it or it cannot be done. What did I say? Is either Christ did it or it cannot be done. Blessed are the Son of David. Blessed are thou, root of Jesse. Blessed are thou, son of David. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed are thou, root of Jesse. You are eminently glorious, immaculate, beautiful. You can go on and on, on and on.
Don't increase the volume of the keyboard.
But my words are not in my blessed are thou, son of David. Blessed are thou, root of Jesse. You are eminently glorious, immaculate, beautiful. I can go. My vocabulary is fair, what permits me to cry in my own.
Give me my scripture. Amen. Okay, show me Romans chapter 3. There are two things we need to consider in this context. Okay, let's start with utter depravity. Romans chapter 3. What advantage then hath the Jew? What profit is there of circumcision? Much everywhere, chiefly because that unto them we are committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true. But every man what? As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God had more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us. Paul is saying that some people are reporting that this is what he's trying to mean. Let us, or he's trying to say that this is what people are assuming from his gospel. Are you seeing it? From what he's teaching. Let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. Next verse. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles. Can we read? For we have before. Let's start from there together. One, two, ready, go. Let's read it again. Let's read it again. Let's
Let me give you context. We'll still read one more verse. Okay. Show me Romans chapter 9 verse 1. Let me give more background to my context. Quickly. Romans 9 verse 1. Quickly. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I would wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. Are you with me? Are you with me? My kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth, number one, what? Number two, and and whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all. God be blessed. What? This is the portfolio of the Jewish nation. And there is no set of human beings that has ever lived upon the face of the earth that possesses such portfolio. You know the good thing, which is a bad thing for them? They are aware. Had they been there, we are not aware, they could have been helped. But they are aware of this burgeoned portfolio, and they bandy it around everywhere that they appear. As a matter of fact, it is the basis upon which they reject the gospel of God. In fact, it is the basis upon which many that are now born again still try to take others back to align them to the fact that there is a superior position that they have in Christ, because they were Jews in Christ. You didn't hear me. So they are trying to say that the Jews in Christ have a superior life in Christ than the Gentiles in Christ. The whole labor of the gospel of Paul is to show that whether you are a Jew, whether you are a Gentile or a barbarian, we are all lost and we are found in Christ. So if we cannot prove by the scripture that even if I'm tall and fair, that even if I'm from the US and well spoken, that even if I'm a professor and well educated, that there is nothing different between me and the person that is in the village. Listen, are you with me? That didn't go to school. That even if I'm a philanthropist and I've not done anything bad, and then an armed killer appears, if there is no proof according to the scripture that before God, if we have not accepted Christ, that we are the same, then it means that there is a good outside of Christ. But we have not found it yet. Even the testimony of Jesus suggests, are you getting what I'm saying? That's what we mean by utter depravity. It means that no matter how good a man is in the natural, that is good is evil before God if there is no Christ in it. It means we cannot refine man. We cannot refine man in his natural essence. Are you with me? Should I stop? Maybe I should stop. Let's continue tomorrow. I have a lot to tell you people. My Jesus. The duty of humanistic studies, if you have gone to school, is to prove to us that there is a way you go to school. In fact, they want to prove to us that the reason why man is still descending to lower acts, base and animalistic acts, is because the man has not been fine-tuned by education. That the more man is educated, the more he can act in his better self. Is that not true? So, those lecturers in your university that is sleeping with people for marks, what do you call that one? Some of them, I hope you know, some of them went abroad to do their masters. Eh? They went there and saw that things are working. Came back to Nigeria and say, if you don't give me money, you will not pass. They came from where things are working. Imagine if they told them that thing there, would they pass? But I thought if you are educated, you should enter into a higher dimension of yourself. Listen, listen. Every man that have not known Christ is utterly depraved. Whether the one that are good, the one that are not good, the one that went to school, that didn't went to school, young and old, white or black, white or yellow, red or black, red or green, no matter the color, no matter the nation, no matter the descendant, no matter the money, I say including a pastor's son, need to be born again for himself, because as far as man is concerned, there is an utter depravity and a foundational need of everyone of God's intervention. That intervention is what is found in the gospel. And what the gospel offers fundamentally is salvation. The process of salvation that we have entered into by the gospel leads us into three-dimensional deliverances from our spirit to our soul towards our body. It leads us into dispensational maturity, dispensational experiences, the experiences of the aeons. So we experience the bounties of the gospel within the allowance of this age and experience it within the allowance of several ages. And that is why the gospel is too good to be true. That just if I believe like this, I keep experiencing God till however long God exists. Huh? Buy one, get all, not two. Buy one, get what? All. Should I say it better? Buy one, get God. It's too good to be true. That if I just believe, that's all. That if I just accept the potency and power of the gospel, that's all. You just have God. Like the God of the universe, you have him. Not to have him for a moment, but to have him for your lifetime and the lifetimes and all aeons. It's too good to be true. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Let's see verse 10. Let's read verse 10 together. 1, 2, ready, go. Please, all of us. 1, 2, ready, go. It is not all of us yet. Let's read together, all of us. 1, 2, ready, go.
As it is written, there is none
what? Righteous. Maybe by tomorrow we delve into the matter of righteousness. Okay? You see, if you search the scriptures, you will find out that don't make the definition of what righteousness is very narrow. Extend it. You see, righteousness is something existing and operational before it was given to man. That means it has what it was doing. It has a purpose it was serving. Now I'm talking about the serving of a purpose. When the scripture gives a revelation like this, that righteousness exalts a nation, that is not an earthbound revelation, first of all. Okay? Okay, let me shift from that. But that, hold that one. The foundation of God's throne is established upon what? And what? The scripture is trying to teach you something.
that righteousness is the civilization that sponsors the progress of God's agenda. Are you getting what I'm saying? If righteousness is not there and available, nothing of God can prosper. Like, you are not getting me. We can be doing something, but if it is not on the civilization that was born by righteousness, it has not made progress in God's context. So what Satan did is to find an alternative means of prospering his agenda. The foundation of God's throne. You know what is foundation? If you remove it, God's throne is removed. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you remove it, foundation is not we laid it and then put other things. It means that that is what is supporting every other thing. Righteousness. So that is the civilization upon which the throne runs. When we say the kingdom, it makes it look so big and it makes it look so big and abstract. But when you want to center the things of God, you place it on the throne, because the throne of God is the true knot of divine existence and operations. If we have not found the throne, we cannot generate compass. We cannot generate directions. We cannot journey until we have located what? The throne. And the scripture said that throne is established upon something. That means that for a man to stand and say that God has accepted anything concerning him, concerning what he's doing, the throne has to judge him. And there is something in the throne that judges. That is righteousness. So when the scripture now says, when people define righteousness as the right standing with God, it means the capacity to stand on that foundation. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Listen, is not God angry with man? I know that people say God is angry with man. That's cool. That's okay. If that is just all, God is not always angry. And he can keep his anger one side and do what he wants to do. There is something that I've taught you people this thing. Anger, there is satiation in anger. But there is a meeting. Before God, there are two things that happen. I've explained it before. Is it not true? Okay, let me explain it again. In atonement, one thing is certain. Have you owed somebody before? You are here. You have never owed anybody in this life. Anthony, you look like you have not owed somebody. There are people that sometimes, some of those people, we like them to owe us. You know why? Once they collect your money, once it's time, they give it. They are honorable owers. Are you getting one? There are people like that. Instead of them not to pay you, they can do anything. They are honorable men, but they are wicked men too. I'm telling you, in this market, they are there. They will come and collect your goods. But many people in this market, that's how they became big. Sorry, sister. They will collect your goods, sell it, use your money and go and buy from another person. And you'll be telling them, pay me my money. If it is 500,000 worth of goods, they will now be giving you 10,000. Are you seeing it? Now, this is the point I'm trying to make. If such person that should pay you back in 1 week kept doing you, and you kept struggling, finally you took him to court and court arrested him, put him in a pool after 2 years. When everything, with all the money you spent, they calculated it and paid you. When the man paid you back, has he paid back what he's owing? Yes. Has he paid back what he's owing? Are you happy with him? You will see that paying for sin is not all. There is a need to meet up with God's dissatisfaction with what sin cost him. You need to know that the sin of man cost God. I don't want to go there. There are some actions you take, it will cost God. You will say, Kai! Oh! Do you know what we just lost now? You will tell him, but I just took, it's just something small that you say, you don't understand. After all, it's apple that he ate. But it's the purpose of God that was held on the balance. The balance of apple is the purpose of when the man ate. So, is he the apple? Is God really angry with taking apple? No. It is his project that just scattered before his eyes. Simply because a man cannot keep his hands from apple. Even today, it still happens. So, when God is angry, it's not just about the debt you are owing. It's about the pain that you cost him. Are you getting the point? So that even after the pain has been, the debt has been paid, there is a need to satisfy the heart of God. Because God was both old and also made angry. He was made sad. So after paying for what we owed, we need to make sure that God is happy. So Jesus did two things. He both paid for what we are owing, and he also satisfied God's anger. So God is no more angry. That means God, we are owing, and God is still angry. I just explained it to you now. There are some people that owed you and paid you back. Eh? If you see them around, if they come back tomorrow, some of them, even if they want to buy from you, I say they have money, you say I'm not selling. How many of you that I'm not saying, they say they have money. Say, I have money today. Say, I'm not selling. Go. You know why? Are you getting the point now? If you are with me so far, say amen. Amen. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, as it is written, there is none. Name the person. From the US, pastor's child. You are a pastor's child now. You are righteous from your womb. After me,
no.
Outside of Christ, there is complete chaos, no help for man. Even if we went to the best schools, in the best schools of this universe, there are still despicable things happening there. In the best nations of this earth, there are still despicable things happening. I was speaking with one of our sisters that is living in the US. Say he parked the car, somebody broke the car and collected the purse with the ATM and withdrew some money from it. I said, it's only in Nigeria that is those things happening in the US. He said, it's common. I say, if it can happen in the US, go on and also on the chat. Calm down. What do you do? Calm down. If it can happen there, it should be common. It means that there is no place it can happen. Huh? Sometimes when we boast too much, God will even allow it to even happen inside your family. You'll be training your child that you are boasting. You'll be training your child the way they are seeing you. When your child was going, you know what I'm saying. When your child was going to that graduation in primary 3, you wore him then now you're crazy, but no problem, but I will still preach my message. You will wear him plastic stethoscope and all that. I say, yeah, a medical, your son don't grow now. You are even forcing him to go to school. Should I shock you? Some of your sons you will send to school are no more going to school. They are Yahoo boys. They are posting, hustle, hustle, make mama proud. Mama is saying that the way to make me proud is to go to school. She is saying make mama proud. Now, they are criminals. If you are a criminal, you are a criminal. It doesn't even matter how you paint it. Make which mama proud? Mama that you didn't greet good morning is the one you are making proud. Yeah, can I go do mama first? If you make him proud. A brother came and told me, Apostle, I love God, but the things we are suffering, I don't know how to go to school. This one, my owner, I don't know how to. Now we are even finding it hard to eat and all that. I just look at this guy. Listen, that's me. I'm not saying you should do that. But when people speak to me in the sense to manipulate me into pity, I close my heart to helping that person. I'm not moved. You know why? Me, I suffered. So if you want to manipulate me with suffering, I just laugh. There is always a way to work hard to survive. I will get on concrete. I will need Hosima. Like, you know this, your arm. How many of you have done Jimmy? There is a way you gym. You cannot, your hands will stiff. You cannot. So I wanted to take my bath. This is the way I was taking my bath. I will carry the water with Bella and go like this. That's how I was doing it. My hand no green move. The money I got there is what I used to open my first bank account and paid for my acceptance fee. If you like, don't be serious. There are some families you've been, nobody even wants you to go to school. If you like, joke. Some people, they want you to go to school and there is money, everything. If you are not determined, there is nothing you did not say. You sold book, sell slave, so you did everything to survive. A sister came and said, I'm passing through a lot in school. I said, I don't understand. I said, what's a lot? Said, they just send me 20,000 and expect me to manage for 1 month. They just spent me 10,000. I just fell on the Genty can't call him. Listen. When did you enter UNN? Which year? 2015. Is yesterday. OJB. OJ. The ancient man. OJ, when did you enter UNN? 2012. It's still yesterday. I want somebody that entered 2010. You 2009. You 2009. We are close together. You are the man. You are an ancient man. Which department? Economics. Why we not meet for school? We supposed meet because that's the time I was in school. Amen. Okay, everything in God's time. You might meet the version of me you don't like. So watch. That time, I think transport fare from Newi to Nsukka is 300 or something. But everything, I'm not sure, is up to 1,000. How much is it now? Huh? To Nsukka, how much? So this is my point. This is my point. Forget the much. Forget the much. This is my point. Listen, if I travel from Nsukka to come back this May, saying that I'm coming back to come and collect money, God willing, they may be able to find the transport fare back. God willing. Say after me, God willing.
God willing.
I'm telling you. God willing, I'm telling you. Sometimes there will be no, we'll just stay at home. My father will call me and say, okay, come now. See, the offering box. They will now be counting offering, counting it, 5 naira, 10 naira, 5 naira. The thing is big, one big envelope, all of them 250. As soon as we go to buy something, they say, it's your father, pastor. That's how they judge. Judge you. That's how you know. Pastor say, what now? They will allow you to change from offering. That's how you know you are a pastor. Said it. If you want to pay for something, 17 naira, 5 naira, they will load it. So they used to give you one big envelope. Everything is not up to 300 naira. Bro! When I get back to school, I wonder, why did I even travel? The only thing that may save me, if there is food stuff at home, you will not carry it. And somebody said, I'm depressed. Apostle, if you can just send me 30,000, I will be okay. I did not see 30,000 as my own in my account until I finished school. I did not see it as my own inside my account. Who won't give you? Are you a thief? How do you find that money? If they want to give us pocket money, they give us in bulk, all of us together, 12,000. You just in AK. Oh God. Oh, say. You now be sharing it. I don't even know how we survive. God. Now, the point is this. When somebody now come and tell me,
this life has treated me so bad.
Once I hear it, I will unpack one side. I'm listening. Let me hear how life has treated you. What did life do to you? What in life even do to you? May we not raise a weak generation. Some of these things people do is pampering. It doesn't make, as long as we are in this world, hard things will come. You go and fall where you should stand. Doesn't matter what you say, somebody have survived it. Doesn't matter what you want to say now, somebody has survived worse. You will say, I'm not sensitive to what you're saying. I'm saying, if you find help, good. If you have not found, don't give up until you find. Don't come and fail because nobody helped you. The real story is that you didn't make it. You know why I share my stories and you people are happy and motivated and inspired? Because I know fail. And I am not the only one that passed through similar circumstances. It looks as if it's not everybody that made it. Will you go and listen to the story of somebody that didn't make it? Why now? Nah, don't you like story? Don't you like story? I'll leave. I'm a nail like I'll call them. But I know you will not hear every story. You will hear sometimes if I tell the sisters on our WhatsApp group, I will tell them, Let me, I want to share something with you. You join me, crazy. You say, we keep reminding me of the things that I want to say. You know why? You know why they want to hear me? Because I did not stay stuck in the things. So when I see people say, one, send message somewhere and say, please, sir, I have not eaten since yesterday. Please send me food. Sorry for me. You know? Sorry that I think like that when he sent me. You know the first thing I said? I said, God is calling you to fasting. Of all people, I am the one that you are using, I've not eaten since yesterday, to threaten. I said, just since yesterday. There are people in Sabo that has not eaten 4 days. They have not died. Instead of me to give that guy money, I will use it and come and buy beans and plant them for you. At least I know you will receive energy to press into God. I've not eaten since. Just send me. Yahoo boy. Small money that I labored in the spirit. to get one lazy Yahoo boy, one to call it. I will stand like this and say, I found you. Like when I remember this guy, the thing they make me angry, especially one says, send me just what I need is just 100,000. I say, see. You used to say just on. Do you know what is 100,000? Say 100, like one. You add zero. I don't know, add zero. What do you do again? What do you do again? What do you do again? Then you finally, and then it becomes 100,000. And somebody say just. You know how many days fasting I did before I saw my first 100,000 in this life. When you see it, God will say, sow it. Somebody come and say, just. I don't know why I went here, but those manipulative, anytime you want to manipulate me, first thing that comes to my head is witchcraft. And the Bible says, suffer not the witch to live. Even if I want to do it, once I see manipulation, a pechirizim. If I may that is what I go just they look you. Me myself, what thing they go through my mind? Me myself, I never shop self. Hunger, homie. And because I always fast, it is unlikely that you asking me for money to eat. It's most likely you have eaten before me. So as you are blackmailing me, I've not eaten in 2 days. So me now yesterday I eat last too. I have not eaten yesterday. So it's the same thing with me and you. May you suppose send something, give me. One say, I need to help my mother and my family. And I don't know what to do. He said, I will go into Yahoo and do Yahoo. I say, you have wanted to go into Yahoo. This thing you are saying is not an excuse. There is a way to help your mother. And in case you tried and you cannot, you have done your best. I don't want to show you people how this life is. If you are sentimental, you won't move forward. I cannot use because I want to help my mother and father and spoil and cut short my own life. Anything that God cannot do for me within the boundaries of legal existence of my own destiny and my own future, it is not worth it. If I tell you people something now, the elders will not like it, but let me leave it. Parents are even pushing their children to Yahoo so that they will provide for the family. What is a 19, 17, 18 year old boy doing providing for a family? It's a proof of failure from the parents. You are 18, you are too young to do that. It's time for you to research life. Even if there is money, it's not time to give that boy money, self. And you are telling him to make money. If he stumbles on money, good, but that's not the duty of that age. That's your creative years. If money comes, I'm not saying you should abandon it, but say I'm the first son of the family. Let me leave this. I'm very angry in my heart with what some parents are pushing their children to do. Come on, tell you, is it not this person's? I said they are pushing male and female. A mother with open eye push the daughter to go and follow a Yahoo boy. He knows. Then when katakata start in the family, you start looking for a pastor that will pray. I've gone everywhere. Nobody has been able. And they will be crying crocodile. Sometimes I enter the realm of the spirit. The Holy Ghost said, don't touch handle. Listen to me. Man of God, don't kill yourself. It's not everything you can solve. You don't know the origin. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people violated laws and judgment is on their head. Some people did things and God has vowed to judge them. And you are saying, who are you now? Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people committed. Maybe somebody vowed and said that he will, maybe he did something to, maybe to me and my ministry. And then I went to God, cried, and God told me, this man and his generations. Then something now happened. You now come out as man of God and say, I am here. You must be free. Free from what? I enjoy a small stroke from that stroke. As a pastor, I'm telling you, there are cases that people brought on their head. Sometimes through Facebook comments. Somebody will hide somewhere on Facebook and comment, these thieves. Maybe I'm the one he called thief. And then one jealous cherub will say, this man has never stolen from somebody. How did this boy call him thief? I don't want this boy. Let me leave you today. Let me leave you. You just now let me leave you. Your kidney and your liver will start going down. Remember, it's not let me do something. So you say, what? Let me leave you. Your kidney and liver will be going. Then your mother will carry. My son, he has never done anything in this world. He has. He looked at people like us and called us false. That we operate from a false spirit. That means you are judging the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. Even in the age to come, there is no forgiveness. I'm not the one, it's the scripture that said it. Then if something happens on this earth, a man of God is forcing himself that he must bring solution. Be humble, man of God, that there are cases you don't know all the history around it. Keep trusting God to solve all cases, but if he reveals to you that, thank God. The one he didn't, leave it. Sometimes, even if you ask people, they will not tell you everything. They will tell you what you need to know. Say, since this year, I don't know what is happening to my business. Is this year? There is another thing that happened since this year. You have joined the mockers and scorners to scorn the people that God anointed and that God set around you. See, it's this year. I don't know what is happening. I'm still praying. I'm feeling. Why won't it happen to you? Sometimes it doesn't happen, and that's why people take it for granted. But sometimes it may. You might not do one, because it's not always, but sometimes one will happen. Like something that happened to me one time. I went on 21 days fast. I was only weeping, telling God, vindicate me. Vindicate me. Vindicate me. I was weeping. Wept, there is no tears. Imagine if you are involved. Vindicate me. If you didn't call me, then let me go home. If you called me, vindicate me. If what I receive with force, take me away. If you called me, vindicate me. Vindicate me. Vindicate me. With tears. I wept till my tears finished. I summoned more tears and kept crying. Let me leave you. Let me stop here. Sorry that I digressed to this point, but I think it's necessary. Don't bind yourself with evildoers. Don't sit in the seat of discomfort. Show me that scripture self. Psalm what? There are three places that the Lord told you to escape from. Psalm. Show me now. What's happening? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of what? So there is the counsel of the ungodly. Stay away from it. Number two, what? Number three, what? Yeah. Anytime a man sits on the seat of discomfort, his mercy departs. That's when he will realize that he's not special. That it is actually a supernatural mercy of God that placed him ahead of others. There is nothing you can ever do to deserve anything, no matter what it is. It is God that boosts us. You know my prayer? May God ever keep before you the foundations of his mercy systems so that you will not violate it. Amen. Huh? Very good. I have decided in my heart that my own is to pay the price and do the work of God in the life of people. But the people that made up their mind to be vessels of scorn, of sin, and ungodliness, it's only in the hands of God to show them mercy. Some of them can finish and then God will show them mercy. Doesn't mean that they will not suffer, but at least not like others. Don't join them. I am seeing a generation that is becoming rebellious, calling it emancipation. I want to sound a warning to this generation. There is nothing new on earth. Not one thing new. Both history and the scripture will show you what happens to a rebellious generation. But I will still be here. I will be a voice to warn you. And I know many of you hearing me that there is a spirit in you. The spirit, the Bible said there is a spirit in Joshua, the son of Nun. He said, put your hands on him so that the spirit will come on him. He has a spirit, then he deserves spirit upon. I pray that you will have the spirit that deserves the spirit. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. Life is not emotional. Stop following people to do things. You know, you think, you just say, but it's like this, that all these pastors are thieves. If you say it to somebody that is a thief, maybe good. But maybe one day you now take it as a culture and say it to somebody that it is not. That the angels walking around him is looking for who to judge. There are some people, don't do that to them. Just leave it. Okay? And it's the same thing in life, in all areas of life. There are some people, not just pastors, in life, you should know, if you say some things about them, it's over for you. You can't move forward anymore. Is it not true? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. If you are sick here, you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. I say you are healed in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we are closing the year, we hope that one of these days we will fellowship on the tables of food and drinks. The scripture said that the young man ate and his spirit was what? Revived. I said, they're asking myself, does it mean that food is a substance of revival? Amen. This Christmas, If on Christmas you don't have food to eat, just come to this tent. We must find food. Listen. We are doing medical and welfare outreach. So don't die of hunger when you can eat here. What did I say? Fasting comet in January. And I'm not sure we'll just fast 50 days. I don't know what's going to happen. Because the reason why I'm saying it is because we are moving to a new place. I get Jebele Koja the place. Ebele me me ukwa neba ho. Ebekate Ebele Ebele one ekusi mo asim. Mere me Ebele. We are praying the other day. My son will now go and hold somebody like this. Look at you people and say, that's what that land will do. The piece of real estate. Bro, you want me to... this guy, yes. I know. I escaped. In Jesus' mighty name. Listen to me, you are blessed. Yeah. I said, believe it, you are blessed. Yeah. Blessing is a spiritual possession. It can manifest physically. Possess it first. The reason why I'm telling you to possess it, it might not manifest today. When it will manifest, you might have forgotten. But possess it, get it. I say you are blessed in the name of Jesus. Look for 20 people. Tell them I share in your blessing.
We believe God's word came to you in accuracy and power. To connect to the ministry of God's servant, Apostle Edu Udechukwu, send us a message on WhatsApp via the number +234 813 007 4040 or email at revivalhopglobal@gmail.com. To access transforming messages and partner with us, visit our website at www.revivalhubinternational.org. Follow us on all our social media platforms at Revival Hub International and on YouTube at Apostle Edu Udechukwu. God bless you.